Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2015, and with me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good.
Awesome. That's way better than I am. Meh. Also, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you, Adam?
I'm good. I like how Brian had a slight, just slight pause to try and determine exactly.
Well, you know, in my head, I'm thinking about the Moo Box on the one hand, and on the other hand, I've got rain, and I've got thunder and lightning in Silicon Valley, which
that's
is weird.
Good. We need that stuff.
It's great. It's fantastic. But like I'm thinking like, well, do I actually like want to go into some sort of thing where, well, I'm wet and that's unusual because it's raining and it never rains here. But then I'm like, no, it's just not worth it. And yet here we are.
Here we are. I pulled you into it. It's my fault.
Totally. Yes. Totally did. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Downcast, the podcast playback and management app. And we'll talk about them soon. But first, I thought that maybe we should talk a little bit about what's up with the Steve Jobs movie. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I went and checked the numbers for the movie over this past weekend, because you know it's been out for a couple of weeks now, and it's been pulled from the majority of the theaters it was in. It was at like 2,500 theaters, and now it's in 420. And it brought in a little over $800,000 this last weekend. And its total take since it was released is like $16.5 million. It cost $30 million to make. And it sounds like no one is going to see this movie.
It's not looking good. $800,000 in a weekend is not that great. And it hasn't been out that long.
Right. Yeah. And I'm curious what you guys think. Well, Adam, okay, first, Adam, you saw the movie.
Yeah, twice. And so I did my part twice.
You did your part
to help
twice.
Them with their numbers. Yeah.
I did my part once, and I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I did too.
Both of you did. As a matter of fact, most of the people who have seen the movie have enjoyed it. This is key because there are a lot of people who kvetch about the movie. Few of them have actually seen it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of the people that haven't gone to see it are if you haven't gone to see it and you're judging the movie, you're judging it unfairly. But I think people are not seeing it because they have decided this is a bad movie because they don't like the way Steve Jobs is being portrayed.
I think that's one aspect. I'm curious how much that is impacting people's willingness to go, or if it's just, you know, the subject matter. Doing what I do, being the fanboy that I am, you know, I was very excited to go see it. But I don't know, maybe it's just not that appealing to the general public. I also read one analysis piece recently where the author was sort of saying that there's a lot of people, and I've heard this comment as well, there's a lot of people out there that feel, because it only covers the first half of Steve's life, that it's not covering the whole man.
Well, it's not really the first half; it's the first three quarters. But
okay, first three quarters. Yeah, the early part of his career, and not the later part, where you know many people who have known him have said he changed and became sort of kinder and gentler, sort of Steve. That that's a disservice that the film did. Now, I don't know that I buy that. I'd like to see that film. I'd like to see the film that is, you know, the sequel part of this one. To do it all in one film, I think, would be very, very difficult. So I'm not really sure why people want that, other than the fact that there's a lot of people for whom Steve Jobs is basically a god, and they don't like to see anything negative said about the man.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that happening. Now, Brian, did you see the movie?
I did not see the movie.
And is there any special reason why?
Yeah, I don't get out and see enough movies.
Okay, that's an acceptable reason.
Well, kind of. I should have made a point of going and seeing this, especially since it's disappearing from theaters fast.
Yes, but that's a more acceptable reason than I know it's a bad movie.
I want to see it. I will absolutely watch it in the privacy of my own home at the very, very least. Although I might try to go see it this week while it's still somewhere. But it's the only reason I absolutely want to see it. I'm very, very interested in it. I'm a big fan of the book. Big fan of Aaron Sorkin's. I am not put off by the complaints. I am put off by the complaints about the movie.
But the complaints aren't keeping you from seeing the movie.
I'm put off by the complaints. I'm not put off on the movie because of the complaints. The complaints drive me nuts. I really don't like the way people have reacted against this movie, especially when they haven't seen it. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I have a problem with that too. If you want to complain about the movie, my feeling is that you should see it so you can legitimately complain. If not, you're just, well, you're dissing a movie because you've decided you don't.
I think it's okay for someone. Okay, and obviously we're talking about the echo chamber here, right?
Yes.
Talking about, you know, fans of Apple and not necessarily the general public. I think it's okay for someone. It's entirely reasonable for someone to say, I don't know. I just don't want to see that movie. I'm just not interested in Steve Jobs' life.
I totally get it. That's okay.
But it's to say that you shouldn't see this movie because it doesn't portray Steve in the right light or anything along those lines. That to me is without reason when you haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I think that's unfair both to the movie and to the other people you're talking to about the movie, because you may sway someone's opinion, well, which is actually probably your intent, but you could sway someone's opinion to not go see the movie when they otherwise might have actually enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I thought it was a really good movie. I didn't go into it expecting to see a documentary about Steve Jobs' life. I went in expecting to see a really interesting story. And that's exactly what I got. The dialogue was wonderful, which is what I'd expect from Sorkin. The scenes I thought were really well choreographed, almost to the point where it felt as if it were a dance, but it wasn't. And it was just really entertaining, and I enjoyed watching the evolution and growth of the main character, who happens to be called Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Well, and I always come back to Waz saying that the movie captures the spirit of working with Steve, even if it uses some juxtaposed scenes and whatnot. I mean, that to me, I'm very interested in that.
Yeah.
I think
it worked. I mean, I think it worked well. You know, a lot of people are taking issues with, you know, this was 40 minutes between, you know, before these launch events. And, you know, a lot of these interactions didn't happen, but that wasn't the point of, you know, sort of the writer taking creative liberty that way. It was sort of to get to that essence. And if Waz is saying, I think that essence was there, and some of those other people who worked with him early on also echo that same sentiment, then something must have been done right. But I have to wonder, I want to throw this back at you guys, and I just want to get this out before I forget. I wonder more if it's just a fact of there's really just not that many people that are that interested in Steve Jobs.
It's like you read my mind, Adam. I was about to ask the same thing.
Well, to that effect, this movie would have done better 2 years ago, especially if it came out before the Kutcher film.
Yeah.
Or 10 years from now.
Yeah. So it's either
right,
it's
right, 2 years ago or 10 years
from now. Or too late. Or yeah. Not soon enough, or it needs to be later.
Yeah, this probably wasn't quite the right time. Like, it just really probably wasn't quite the right time.
Which is unfortunate, because it is a wonderful story, I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
But I have a broader point, actually, about the movie. So why don't you actually say what you were going to say?
I think you're probably right on, and I think that's exemplified by the fact that the Kutcher movie did about, to this point, about as much as this film, at least according to the reports that I've been reading, in terms of dollars. And that film is nowhere close to the quality or the caliber of this film.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And I have a different way of thinking about the film.
Okay.
Aaron Sorkin was looking to tell the story of who Steve Jobs is. And he did so in a way that was not the same as telling the history of what Steve Jobs did.
Correct.
Yes.
And I think that the people who get hung up, on the historical, you know, documentary aspect of this, or the biodoc aspect of this film, or the lack thereof, are ignoring the possibility that telling the story of who Steve Jobs was is just as legitimate as saying what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And the people who the people who knew that, you've got this dividing line. You've got the people who knew Steve during the last great act of his life, and you've got the people who knew Steve before in his earlier acts. Those people say it nailed it. And the people who didn't see the film and who knew him in his last act all said, it doesn't show the Steve Jobs that I knew. And
to be fair, they're right, because they didn't know the Steve Jobs that's portrayed in the movie.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a two-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so anyway, go see the film.
Yeah, this film, I still say, for Apple fans, you really should see this film, whether you see it now or, you know, I would assume now that the numbers have come in relatively low, that we should see it move into, you know, other platforms, i.e. either buying on. What's going to be interesting to me is if they sell it on iTunes. I'm assuming they're going to sell it and rent it on iTunes, because they did the Kutcher movie and the other recent documentary that a lot of the Apple execs don't like. So I think it will show up there, but I think it's going to happen probably sooner than later. Now.
It probably won't get a banner, though. it probably won't get an editorial recommendation. Don't fret about the makers of this film, though. We shouldn't fret about them in the first place. This film is going to still make a profit for the distributors in Sony, or I'm sorry, Universal. Through foreign film rights and streaming and rental and DVDs and whatnot.
Well, and the directors
is going to do just fine.
The directors and a lot of the actors and the people involved too, also in many cases, you know, cut their regular rates and things like that to get this done. So everybody, I think, involved in the project really believed in it. And even though it didn't do well at the box office, there's still a lot of buzz that, you know, Oscar buzz and things like that. So
sure. And if it gets Oscar nominations, that will drive people to go see the movie as well.
Yeah, they may have to ramp distribution back up. So,
right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, if you have seen the movie, let me know what you think. If you haven't seen it, I want to know why. I'm really curious what has kept people away. So let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes for today's episode. I'll check all those places to see what you have to say. And I mentioned earlier, we have a sponsor. And that sponsor is Downcast. And Downcast is a podcast player and management app you can get for the Mac, for iOS, and for Apple Watch. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this app is that it does iCloud syncing. And I said one thing, but I'm going to change that. Two things. iCloud syncing, so that you can have the same point in a podcast across all your devices. So start listening one device, jump to another, and pick up where you left off. And then also, it can send your podcasts to your Apple Watch, which is something Apple hasn't given us an ability to do with their own apps. So I just think it's really awesome that that Downcast is doing this. This is the podcast player that I'm using on my iPhone right now, and I've been really happy with it. It's pretty cheap. It's only a buck or so. And if you want to check it out, and I think you should, because, hey, everyone deserves to have a good podcast player on their iPhone or their Mac or Apple Watch, wherever you want to listen. What you need to do is go hit this URL, Downcast, so it's downcast.fm/TDO. And what that will do is take you right to the link on the App Store for the iOS version, and also lets the Downcast people know that you heard about the show here. No, that you heard about the app here. We're on a show. We're not on a. I need help today. Anyhow, go to downcast.fm/TDO and pick up a copy of Downcast. I'm really liking the app, and I think you will too. Thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor today. Okay, so before we wrap up, I thought that we should probably talk a little bit about Apple's news today, which is that iPad Pro pre-orders start this Wednesday, which is November 11th. And then Apple even went so far as to tell us when we'll be able to get our iPads. Well, sort of. They said later this week.
They didn't tell us anything.
No, they really didn't. All we know is that sometime on the 11th, we can ask Apple if we can have an iPad.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Well, and commit money to that effect.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Now, okay, so that's assuming pre-orders lead directly into sales, like we'll have our iPads delivering on Friday.
So, it's going to be a window again, I'm going to guess, yeah. Just like they did with the iPhone, which is a change and which is somewhat frustrating to me as a big fan and the guy that, you know, wants to have it day one. I don't need to have it day one. I want to caveat that. I'd like to have it day one as soon as possible.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's frustrating because for a pre-order, do I get up at midnight and see if they start then? Which is what Apple has historically done.
Typically, yeah. I would say you're safe doing that.
Right. But what I'm expecting is I'm going to set my alarm for 5 minutes early, get up, and hang around for about 15 minutes and be totally annoyed that pre-orders didn't start, go back to bed, and then
get up at 8 a.m.
in the morning.
You could let me telephone you if they go on order, because I'll be up.
Yeah, my bigger frustration comes in the whole delivery thing, and you know we've seen a couple places last week that were already taking pre-sales. I think like Sam's Club and
Mac Mall,
yeah, and they were both posting a Friday delivery date, but Apple is not in any way, shape, or form committed to that or confirmed that. So that would be the 13th, well, and some later pre-orders are showing later delivery dates now. If you're going through a third-party reseller. So it's just really unclear, should I get up and pre-order it? If I pre-order it, am I going to get a delivery window again? So it may or may not get here if they ship them on Friday.
And here's
again,
my advice.
That's an if.
Here's my advice. Pre-order, yep. And then if Apple pulls the same kind of shenanigans it pulled with Apple TV, return it again.
Yeah, and sorry, I'm saying iPhone, and I meant Apple TV. So thank you, Brian.
I mean, and those were absolute shenanigans, and Apple probably ended up losing several million dollars in unnecessary costs from having to take returns. Not only dealing with the equipment, but all the man hours associated with taking those returns. So, quite frankly, they needed to be punished for that too, because that was absolute nonsense. And if they do the same thing again, then do the same thing again, assuming you have the cash flow to actually pay
it
to
them. Right. It's a little bit higher price point.
Yeah, but, yeah, basically you need to have a spare grand sitting around if that's what you're going to do, because the time frame will be tight enough that you're not going to be able to cancel your order if you pick one up in the store. Yeah. Which means that you're going to spend about $1,000 to get one in the store, and then you will be charged $1,000 for the one that shipped to you. So yeah, if you've got that extra money sitting around, that's absolutely a way to go.
Or, and I'm just being helpful here, with that, you could send that extra one you end up getting to your favorite podcaster.
Yeah, there you go.
That's totally an option.
It is not. There is nothing stopping anyone from doing that.
No, there is not.
I'm kidding. Apple has trained us to be excited about release days. And Apple has given us the tools to return stuff. In my opinion, if you can, you pre-order, and then if Apple pulls shenanigans, return it.
I have to share this because I think it says a lot about those shenanigans. So with the Apple TV, when I had ordered mine, pre-ordered, and then it didn't arrive on Friday, or I didn't get a ship notification, I went on to Apple Chat and was chatting with the folks there. And they said, oh, it's just because, you know, Apple likes to build anticipation. So they're just building anticipation, folks. Don't worry about it.
Well, I guess that does make everything okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's just the thing, though. These shenanigans actually lower the anticipation. It actually makes for a less exciting a launch event. There is no launch event.
Yeah, it's annoying. Well, I think for my part, I don't know if I'm going to actually pre-order. I think I may just, you know, head or take my chances and go down to the Apple store.
And that will hinge. We probably morning. Should have spent some minutes talking about this. This is going to utterly depend on how many Apple actually has ready to go at launch. The Apple TV, there's a world of difference between the Apple TV and the iPad Pro.
Well, and I think they're launching in more countries. I think they're launching 40 countries. I don't remember how many they do the Apple TV. Maybe there was more for the Apple TV. I don't remember the number.
I don't think it was 40 countries.
Yeah. So iPad Pro is going on sale in 40 countries on Wednesday. And pre-orders,
Adam,
at least.
Like you, I'm seriously considering not pre-ordering and just showing up at the Apple store on launch day.
It worked for the Apple TV, but we don't know what launch day is either. That's the thing. Right. Is it going to be Friday? Is it going to be Saturday? Is it Monday? I don't know. And I guess it can't be Monday because they said later in the week. But
they're entirely different products.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and when I was in the Apple store the other day before this announcement came out, I just offhandedly asked a staff member, hey, when can we start buying Apple TV, or excuse me, iPad Pro? And the guy says, we don't know. We haven't been given any information. Let me get you in contact with our business liaison. And I thought that was interesting. They ask about Apple TV, and they want you to talk to their business liaison. So that
you mean iPad Pro?
iPad Pro.
See what you guys have done to me? I can't get any product names right today. Yeah.
That is, that actually might be in line with them thinking internally or feeling internally that iPad Pro has a pretty big enterprise draw to it.
That's my guess. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. And Adam, I can't wait to see if we both end up in a store on launch day or if we're waiting to see if a truck shows up at our house.
As much as I don't want to, I'm probably going to do exactly what Brian said, do both.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks.
So, you too. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear what you think when you get around to seeing the Steve Jobs movie. And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to downcast.fm/TDO, downcast.fm/TDO, and pick up a copy of Downcast for your iOS device and start listening to podcasts in a much better way. And this is the part where normally I would say thanks, everyone, for being here. But my screen just locked up, so I can't actually do the end sound, which is totally awesome. So I'll just say thanks for everyone for being here today. And then in post, I'll add in some music at the end.
Ooh.
Seriously, I can't get my screen to
this lock. Of course, is the one time I've done one of these with you that I didn't fire up Audio Hijack and do a backup recording.
That's all right. Hey, guess what? My screen unlocked. Here comes some music.